Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare. All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up.
Hi.
I'm Erin.
I'm Diana.
And this is Julius Caesar.
Yes.
Number 10.
The tent scene. yes. And we get to meet Caesar's ghost as well.
Ooh.
Exciting. You would think it's exciting.
Let's think about that. Okay, so there are exciting things in this scene, but the ghost is not one of them.
The ghost is not one of them.
Hamlet's father's ghost is much better.
So much more interesting and says some cool things.
Banquo. Yeah. So much better.
Oh, so much better.
Yeah.
So much better.
No.
This Even ghost... though Blanco just doesn't speak. That's fine.
What
Something
the fuck
fell.
Just fell.
One of your dicks.
One of my dicks just fell.
I don't know. They're everywhere. I can't tell. You know, maybe there is one. Yeah. Ghost. So, you know, it's a sad precursor to Hamlet's ghost.
Very.
Yeah, very. But, you know, again, Julius Caesar, we keep saying, is sort of the experimental tragedy.
Right.
Yeah.
According to Harold Bloom. Yeah.
And we hear about Portia dying.
Yes, and we talked a little bit about that earlier, but we're going to wait until that comes to discuss.
To see what we think is
really
happening there.
Yeah.
But the scene we had in the last scene, Brutus saying, Cassius, let's take this inside because it's not appropriate in front of our armies. So they're removing their fight scene to somewhere more private.
Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, so let's talk a little bit. You know, so much is unsaid.
Yeah, we keep talking about that.
Play, and then this is pivotal, and we finally get to hear what the hell they're saying to each other.
All that weird undercurrent shit that like we haven't heard up until now.
Yeah.
That has been, you know, removed to the sides. Now it's here.
Yeah.
And it starts as a big fight scene. You know, they're like, you did this, you did that, accusations and all this, and then.
Let's not spoil the surprise. We won't spoil the surprise.
But just for a heads up, to be looking for the language of love, actually.
Yeah.
It's really, and my mentor, Kevin Coleman, thank you, shout out, always said this was a love scene, which you wouldn't, yeah.
No, go ahead.
I won't spoil it too much. But which you wouldn't, you know, they're like two military commanders, and they murdered someone together, and, you know.
Shakespeare did like his homoerotic relationships.
Yeah.
We see them in many plays.
Yeah.
They're in Troilus and Cressida. Mm-hmm. They're like...
Twelfth Night. Sebastian.
But also Benvolio and...
Mercutio.
And Mercutio.
For sure.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. And I did a little reading up on that because I'm reading a great book now called Shakespeare, Sex, and Love.
Yeah, right up our alley.
Yeah. And one of the things that they talk about, that Stanley Wells talks about there, is how much, you know, there were laws on the books about buggery and sodomites and such like that. But they weren't really prosecuted. There were cases that would come up before the civil court, but the only ones that were really prosecuted were the ones where a man was doing something terrible to a boy.
Right? Okay.
A young boy. But otherwise...
That's non-consensual.
That's non-consensual. But the consensual stuff that was just like some other neighbor reporting it, they were always like, it's fine. You know.
What you do in your own bedroom, that's your business.
Yeah, come on.
As long as it's consensual.
Don't bother us with this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here, you know, there's a very good case for these two men very much love each other in the middle of all this.
All right, let's jump in.
Let's jump in.
All right, I'm starting off as... precocious.
Yeah.
We're kind of a mess today. I mean, aside from the fact that we're also recording this for YouTube.
Hello, YouTube.
We don't have our regular setup, so things are a little wonky. So just bear with us, okay?
You guys are used to wonky by now. Come on. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Cassius, that you have wronged me doth appear in this. You have condemned and noted Lucius Pella for taking bribes here of the Sardinians.
Sardines.
Wherein my letters praying on his side because I knew the man were slighted off.
All right, so he charges right in. As often is, we come in mid-conversation, right? So yeah. There's something else that just happened, as we saw, just outside the tent, and Cassius just comes piling into the tent with, God damn it! And, you know,
you
he's like,
son of a bitch!
You jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
So this Lucius Pella guy is a local magistrate, and Brutus, you know, said he should die, and noted just means publicly disgraced. He called him out for taking bribes, and Cassius was trying to appeal for him, praying on his side, mm-hmm. means requesting leniency. And he says, I asked for you to spare him and you didn't, and so you slighted me. Brutus, you wronged yourself to write in such a case.
In such a time as this, it is not meet that every nice offense should bear his comment.
Yeah, so it's not appropriate, meet, that every nice, if every little thing. We don't have to call out every tiny thing because there are a lot of people getting killed.
And there's a lot of shit going on right now.
Yeah.
This is not the time for this crap.
Yeah, this picky and little stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there, if you remember from a couple of episodes ago, we talked about the proscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
This state-sanctioned murder. Ah.
You know what I was thinking about here we go.
Soapbox.
You know what I was thinking about? State-sanctioned murder isn't capital punishment. State-sanctioned murder.
Yes.
It is murder. And the only person who should be able to decide, the only entity that should be able to decide if someone lives or dies is...
The Great Spirit.
The Great Creator.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so I'm done. That was a short one.
So the proscriptions are happening now where Antony and Octavius are all deciding who should die. You saw them in that scene. Okay, this guy, this dude, this, they're all, but Brutus is doing the same on his side.
But of course he is, because they're all politicians and they're all doing the same shit.
Yeah. So he killed Antony's brother.
Can I just say how appropriate it is that we're doing this play right at this time in our history?
I know.
Oh my God. Oh my God, the politicking. Lunatics. They're lunatics. Okay, let's go on.
So, Brutus, let me tell you, Cassius, you yourself are much condemned to have an itching palm to sell and march your offices for gold to undeservers.
I an itching palm?
Yeah, he cuts him off. He's like, fuck you. Yeah?
Right. I want money in my palm. No. You know that you are Brutus that speaks this. Or by the gods, this speech were else your last.
Yeah. If you weren't my friend, I'd fucking kill you right now. Yeah. The name of Cassius honors this corruption, and chastisement doth therefore hide his head.
Chastisement!
Remember, March, the Ides of March, remember? Did not great Julius bleed for justice' sake? What villain touched his body that did stab, and not for justice? What, shall one of us that struck the foremost man of all this world, but for supporting robbers, shall we now contaminate our fingers with base bribes and sell the mighty space of our large honors for so much trash as may be grasped thus? I had rather be a dog and bay the moon than such a Roman.
Brutus, bay not me.
Lovely. Throws his word back at him and he's just like, uses the first consonant of his name to... fucking kill him. So Brutus was saying, like, we all stabbed Caesar for supporting corrupt people. Is that the way that we want to then honor the mighty act that we did by then being the same kind of corrupt people?
Yeah, so Brutus is sounding like a good guy in this
part. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he's talking about bribery as like this shitty, shitty, you know, act. He's not talking about state-sanctioned murder.
Right, of course. Okay. I'll not endure it. You forget yourself to hedge me in. I am a soldier, I, older in practice, abler than yourself to make conditions.
Go to, you are not, Cassius.
I am.
I say you are not.
Urge me no more. I shall forget myself. Have mind upon your health. Tempt me no further. I will keep...
Away, slight man.
Is't possible?
Hear me, for I will speak. Must I give way and room to your rash collar? Shall I be frighted when a madman stares?
Oh, ye gods, must I endure all this?
Yeah, so give way is yield. So do I have to give in to your crazy madness? And yeah, they're just flinging shit back and forth at each other. Oftentimes when we rehearse, sometimes I use fight moves to rehearse a scene just to see, like, what else does that add to what you understand of the scene?
Do you remember when we were doing Merry Lives?
Merry Lives.
Merry Wives of Windsor, and we had Ansel and Sophie do sword fighting as they practiced their lines?
Yes. Yeah. It's a really good tool, because what do you discover from adding that physical element, or this physical element? Yeah.
Yeah.
And here you absolutely would. I would have Brutus and Cassius like, teachers, teachers, heads up. I would have them throwing shit at each other. So we often do this exercise where we'll ball up pieces of paper and you just wing them, because you can't hurt anybody, but you get to throw with all your might. And that's really fun.
Yeah. Love.
Love. Mm. Okay. So ye gods. All this I more fret till your proud heart break. Fret is torment yourself. Like, go ahead. I don't care if you are kill yourself in being upset. Go show your slaves how choleric you are. Make your bondmen tremble. Must I budge? Must I observe you? Must I stand and crouch under your testy humor? By the gods, you shall digest the venom of your spleen, though it do split you. For from this day forth, I'll use you for my mirth, yea, for my laughter when you are waspish.
Waspish?
Whoa.
That's great.
So I'm not, Budge is flinch. There is the sense that he feels physically threatened by Cassius. Mm-hmm. Must I observe you? Do I have to live my life according to your example? Or that means, are you only the one that's making the rules now? Under your testy humor is your temperament. Your temperament is somebody who, I don't know where you're going with all this all the time. And waspish, great word.
Waspish,
we hear it again in The Taming of the Shrew.
Yes.
It means hot-headed, like a wasps are unpredictable.
Yeah. And then Cassius cuts him off. Is it come to this?
You say you are a better soldier? Let it appear so. Make your vaunting true, and it shall please me well. For mine own part, I shall be glad to learn of noble men.
You wrong me every way. You wrong me, Brutus. I said an elder soldier, not a better. Did I say better?
If you did, I care not.
When Caesar lived, he durst not thus have moved me.
Yeah. Good. Make your vaunting, your boasting true, and then I shall be glad to learn of noble men. Oh, it's sarcasm, right? I'll be glad to learn when you're actually a better soldier than me. Mm. Prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Cassius, you know, even Caesar didn't dare talk to me like this.
Yeah.
Peace, you durst not so have tempted him.
I durst not.
No.
What, durst not tempt him?
For your life you durst not.
No, do not presume too much upon my love. I may do that I shall be sorry for.
Yeah, so don't count on my love to keep you safe, because
you're getting
I'm ready
real close.
To kill you.
Real close.
You have done that you should be sorry for. There is no terror, Cassius, in your threats, for I am armed so strong in honesty that they pass by me as the idle wind. Like, you might as well fart at me, buddy. Which I respect not. I did send to you for certain sums of gold, which you denied me, for I can raise no money by vile means.
Oh, not me.
Like, let's let Cassius do that.
Yeah, right.
Shit, right.
I can't be dirtied by that.
I can't dirty my hands, my itching palms.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
By heaven, I had rather coin my heart and drop my blood for drachmas than to wring from the hard hands of peasants their vile trash by any indirection. I did send to you for gold to pay my legions, which you denied me. Was that done like Cassius? Should I have answered Caius Cassius so? When Marcus Brutus grows so covetous to lock such rascal counters from his friends, be ready, gods, with all your thunderbolts. Dash him to pieces.
I denied you not.
You did.
I did not. He was but a fool that brought my answer back. Brutus hath rived my heart. A friend should bear his friend's infirmities, but Brutus makes mine greater than they are.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Great, so I'd rather coin my heart. I'd rather make coins out of my own flesh than ask the common people for their money that they have very little of. Right. So he's saying that, which actually was not true historically. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Such rascal counters are paltry sums, coins, yeah. And then we have this great triple shared line. Yeah. Dashed into pieces, I denied you not, you did. One line. And Brutus hath rived my heart.
Torn it to pieces.
Torn it to pieces.
You're killing me, Brutus. You're killing me here.
So he's saying it was the messenger's fault, not me. You know, I didn't say no.
Whoever... Yeah, and if you had only checked with me, this would have been solved.
Yeah. So historically, really interesting. Cassius was in charge of the navy. Mm. And so he just kept, like, going around to all the little islands, like Rhodes and stuff, and saying, okay, we need your money and your people. So we're going to fight this war. And they were like, but you say you are representing Rome, but then there's Octavius and Antony who are also saying they're representing Rome. So, yes, we have a duty to Rome, but which Rome? And Cassius was like, I'll show you which one. The one that kicks your ass!
Kicks you!
Yeah, and he so did, you know. And so then he just kept, like, mounting up gold, and on their way, they sailed east, like almost to Turkey. And then they came around by the coastal side until they got to Philippi, which is kind of right above Greece. And the whole way, they just, like, took money and people from, they were building up their army.
Having been married to a Greek man and having had a Greek man for a father-in-law, can I just say that the Greeks got the shit end of the stick over
all
and over
time.
And over again? People just came and were like, we're taking your land. We're taking your money. We're, you know, we're,
yeah. But here, we'll plant you some olive trees.
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
So, but Brutus makes mine greater than they are. So he's saying, you know.
You're saying I have done worse things than I've done.
Than I actually have done.
Yeah.
I do not, till you practice them on me.
You love me not.
I do not like your faults.
A friendly eye could never see such faults.
A flatterer's would not, though they do appear as huge as high Olympus.
Come, Antony, and young Octavius, come. Revenge yourselves alone on Cassius. For Cassius is aweary of the world, hated by one he loves, braved by his brother, checked like a bondman, all his faults observed, set in a notebook, learned and conned by rote. Should we stop there?
Yeah. She cast into my teeth.
In a notebook, learned and conned by rote to cast into my teeth.
Yeah, meaning to throw back at my face, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, braved by his brother, we got this great repetition of B's, which we had with Brutus, but not me, yeah? Braved is challenged, checked is criticized. So he's saying, the person that I loved most in the world is just doing all these terrible things to me, challenging me, criticizing me. He's, like, taken down every little one of my faults and studied them in a notebook and written them down.
And then thrown them back at me.
Yeah, and then thrown them back at me.
Does this not sound like a marital spat?
Yes.
To me it do.
Yeah, for sure.
I definitely have had this fight.
Yeah. Right. You're just making every little thing into something worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, here. To cast into my teeth, oh, I could weep my spirit from mine eyes. There is my dagger, and here my naked breast, within a heart dearer than Pluto's mine.
Richer than gold.
Yeah. I just had a little moment where I was like, Pluto or Plato? And I had to stop and like think, what are we saying here?
It's actually Plutus, and it's an error on Shakespeare's part. Interesting. So Plutus is the god of wealth. Pluto is the god of the underworld.
Right, right. Yeah. That's why I was like,
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Okay. Yeah. So, and here my naked breast within a heart, dearer than Pluto's, mine richer than gold. If that thou be'st a Roman, take it forth. I that denied thee gold will give my heart. Strike as thou didst at Caesar, for I know when thou didst hate him worst, thou lovest him better than ever thou lovest Cassius.
Sheathe your dagger. Yeah, it's really getting good here, guys. Okay, so if you start reading the way that we read scripts,
because we always see the nasty bits in everything, because we are groundlings. We cannot help ourselves.
We're children.
Or seven-year-old boys.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, but it starts with the words weep. Oh, I could weep. And then you have these grieving sounds. My weep, my spirit. Spirit is also semen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we start getting body parts. We have semen. We have eyes. We have
breast.
Heart. We have heart twice as a line ending.
Yes.
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 So really what we're talking about is love now, even though it sounds angry. And so then here he says, here's my naked breast. Whatcha? Take the dagger and bury it in my heart. Right? Which is a metaphor for sex for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We have this scene again in Richard III, where Richard does this to Anne as a final act of, this is how much I love you. Go ahead and kill me.
Yeah, but
he
didn't
me.
Really mean it. Right?
Kill me.
Yeah. The
right?
little death.
Yeah. And and he's like, I know you loved Caesar better than you love me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's starting to be this incredible, like, prove to me, you know, how much you love me thing. And then sheath your dagger.
Put your
dick away. I don't want to get into that now.
We don't got time for that right now.
Sheathe your dagger. Be angry when you will. It shall have scope. Do what you will. Dishonor shall be humor. Oh, Cassius, you are yoked with a lamb that carries anger as the flint bears fire, who much enforced shows a hasty spark and straight is cold again.
All right, let's stop there.
Yeah, and then Cassius cuts him off again. But yeah, so, okay, stop. Put your dagger away. And then he says, go ahead and be angry. If you're angry, I will understand that your harsh words come from a quick temper, which you have. But I have, he says, yoked with a lamb, Brutus, that's Brutus, you're hitched to me.
Right, and lambs are gentle.
Gentle, but that carries anger as the flint bears fire. So I have this anger inside of me that flares up. And then
if you strike me the right way.
If you strike me the right way. Who much enforced, like if you really push me, there's a spark, and then I'm cold again.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm calm again.
Yeah.
I'm okay. So we had this, this spike of temper on both sides. And now Brutus is quieting it. Because remember, he's the Stoic.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one who's like, we're not supposed to show this crazy amount of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are we?
And straight is cold again.
Hath Cassius lived to be but mirth and laughter to his Brutus, when grief and blood ill-tempered vexeth? That's like saying texts.
Yeah.
I hate X's words.
Yeah, tough.
Vexeth him.
Yeah, especially with the TH.
Yeah.
So we have his Brutus, my Brutus, my Brutus Bible.
Am I just here to make you laugh?
And have I, you know, come to this point where I'm creating, where I'm the fool in front of you?
Yeah.
When what I really am sad about losing our friendship. That was the prompt here.
Yeah.
And blood ill-tempered. My blood was up. My blood was up.
Whoop!
Boing! Yeah. So I got a little hard on from that whole fight thing. Yeah.
Whoop!
When I spoke that, I was ill-tempered, too.
Do you confess so much? Give me your hand.
And my heart, too,
oh,
right?
Brutus.
So there's one of these, take hands and then do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, where you pull the hand to your heart.
Yeah.
And my heart, too.
Oh, Brutus.
What's the matter?
Have not you love enough to bear with me when that rash humor which my mother gave me makes me forgetful?
He's blaming his mother for this kind of temper.
But of course. Yeah. Isn't that what always happens?
It genetically came from my mother.
A mother always gets blamed. And Shakespeare rarely puts mothers in plays.
Yeah, there's no mothers. It's like Disney. Yes, Cassius. And from henceforth, when you are over earnest with your Brutus, he'll think your mother chides and leave you so. That means stop at that, but also... I'll just imagine it's your mother, and I won't bother with that. And that's where the poet suddenly is heard, which is so funny. Here they are at this incredible moment of reconciliation. We've got the hand to the heart. Who knows where it could go from here? And from outside, we hear this random poet. Let me go in to see the generals. There is some grudge between them. 'Tis not meet they be alone.
And Lucilius. You shall not come to them.
Nothing but death shall stay me.
How now? This is Cassius. How now? What's the matter?
Yeah, so this bizarre poet screaming from the outside is not fitting to see them this way, basically. We have generals in the army. We have serious characters. And it's almost like Shakespeare going, no, this is wrong. I'm going to rewrite this. So funny.
I do love some homoerotica, but we're not going to go there in the history.
Not here.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he doesn't have a name, this poet. He's just the poet. The poet. The poet. For shame, you generals. What do you mean? Love and be friends, as two such men should be. For I have seen more years, I'm sure, than he.
How vilely doth this cynic rhyme.
Yeah, notice the rhymes. Yeah, it's great. And this cynic is a rude philosopher. Brutus, get you hence, sirrah, saucy fellow, hence.
Bear with him, Brutus. 'Tis his fashion.
I'll know his humor when he knows his time. What should the wars do with these jigging fools?
Jigging.
Companion, hence.
Jigging.
Jigging means fucking these fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Away, away, be gone. And the poet
the
leaves.
Poet.
Yeah, he's just there to make sure the boys don't have sex.
He was just a cock blocker. That's it.
Cock block the poet.
Yeah.
We had Sinner the Poet, now we have Cock Block the Poet.
Yes, there you go. There's a paper idea. Strange poets in... No. Random poets in Julius Caesar. There you go. Mm. Random poets could be a little tiny essay, a one paragrapher.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Brutus. Lucilius and Titinius, bid the commanders prepare to lodge their companies tonight.
And come yourselves and bring Messala with you immediately to us.
Lucius, a bowl of wine.
Lucius. Poor Lucius.
It's always being ordered around.
I did not think you could have been so angry.
Oh, Cassius, I am sick of many griefs.
Of your philosophy, you make no use if you give place to accidental evils.
So your philosophy being stoicism, you're not abiding by it if you react like this to bad news.
Bad news.
No man bears sorrow better. Portia is dead.
Huh? Portia?
She is dead.
How scaped I killing when I crossed you so? Oh, insupportable and touching loss. Upon what sickness?
Yeah, so he's like,
I'm surprised you didn't kill me.
You were sitting on that, and you didn't kill me? Whoa. Yeah. Upon what sickness? Impatience of my absence, and grief that young Octavius and Mark Antony have made themselves so strong, for with her death that tidings came. With this, she fell distract, and, her attendants absent, swallowed fire.
And Cassius! Okay, so she swallowed fire.
Meaning coals?
Coals from the fire.
She swallowed hot coals. That's how she died.
And Cassius says, and died she so?
Yeah.
Like, okay, if you put burning coals down your throat, what do you think's gonna happen, Cassius?
What do you think's gonna... Nobody can fix that.
No.
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 Uh-uh. Yeah, so this is why I think, like, wow, what kind of person does this? Somebody who's very disturbed, upset, like really doesn't know where else to go.
Or proving she is her father's daughter. Doing something so insanely over the top, proving her mettle yet again. You know, first she stabbed herself in the thigh, which is a little, but she did it to prove her mettle. And I feel like this could be that also. You know, it could be madness. It could also be madness touched with this idea of, you know, honor and whatnot.
And enormous deeds of,
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's that same theme of having a quality that should be good, like patriotism or, you know, love of, like love of brothers and that kind of thing, and then just taking it to way too far.
Right. Yeah. As everyone does in this play.
Yes.
And as our politicians are doing just right now.
Yeah, sure.
Just right now. Uh-huh. Just where we are in our country's history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really interesting. And that is a paper idea. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. That is a paper idea, because if you talk about each time different characters go too far in
with something
that could be, held up as an honorable thing, but they take it just one step too far and it becomes a dishonorable thing, or it becomes a mad thing, or it becomes a liability rather than a strength.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yeah. Interesting paper idea.
Yeah, very. Mm,
we should do a TikTok about that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We will.
Okay.
Historically, Portia was much more of a part of the conspiracy, actually. She was much more of a backing factor, and she was in on the meetings and all of these things. So that's interesting, because swallowing fire is like shutting yourself up, right?
Yeah.
Never going to speak again.
Because
at the very least.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, you're going to die. But like also that you cauterize the tissue in your throat. It like if you burn, well, you know, when they do cauterization of wounds, it's with heat.
Sealing it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really interesting.
Okay. So, and swallowed fire and died so?
Even so.
Oh, ye immortal gods.
Speak no more of her. Give me a bowl of wine. In this, I bury all unkindness, Cassius, and he takes a toast.
Yeah. And shared, right?
Yeah, triple shared.
Yeah.
And died so, even so, O ye mortal gods.
Yeah.
Cassius is ready to mourn her a little bit longer, and Brutus is like, let's just
give me some wine.
Let's just
bury this.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's some love
being the stoic there. Wow. Yeah. So he couldn't be the stoic with Cassius, but he could with Portia. That's interesting.
Well, she accuses him earlier on of not
loving her the way he loves others. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's just further proof of that.
Yes, yes. She was an instrument of his climb up the ladder, for sure.
Yeah.
Cato's daughter. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. My heart is thirsty for that noble pledge. Fill, Lucius, till the wine or swell the cup.
Yeah, and finish it.
I cannot drink too much of Brutus's love.
Yeah, really. Here's the sexy talk coming back.
Woo!
Right?
After we've just dismissed my wife's death, right? Let's get drunk.
Done that.
Yeah, I'm done.
Let's get drunk. Let's or swell the cup, baby.
Yeah, my heart is thirsty for that noble pledge.
Yes.
Fill, Lucius.
I want to drink Brutus's semen. I mean, love.
Woo, these boys are hot.
And Brutus is like, come in, Titinius. You know, like, well, maybe we're going too far again. Welcome, good Messala. Now sit we close about this taper here. Call in question our necessities.
So they're sitting. We'll have a gangbang. Diana's note says we'll have a gangbang.
Yes. I was like, let's add Lucius and Messala and Titinius. Let's go for it. Although Lucius is a boy, so
yes,
that would be
right
prosecutable.
Out. Yeah.
Yes.
So they're sitting around a candle and
a hot burning stick.
Yes.
Just saying.
And discuss what's going on here. And Cassius, this is interesting. Portia, art thou gone?
No more, I pray you. It's like, no, forget it. Let's leave grief over there. We're going to have a gangbang. It's good. Messala, I have received letters that young Octavius and Mark Antony come down upon us with a mighty power, bending their expeditions towards Philippi.
Am I reading Messala?
Yeah, sure. And so Philippi is a line ending.
Very important.
So anyone who knows their Roman history, which would be a lot of people in the audience, know where we're going now.
Right.
With this.
We don't know that because we're not taught that. But
Right.
In that day, they would have known this.
Very, very famous battle. Terrible for the Romans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Messala. Myself have letters of the selfsame tenor.
With what addition?
That by proscription and bills of outlawry, that's hard to say,
yeah.
Outlawry.
Warrants.
Octavius, Antony, and Lepidus have put to death 100 senators.
Whoa. That's a lot. So proscription, we talked about that, and bills of outlawry would be warrants for their arrest.
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So they've killed 100 senators. Therein our letters do not well agree. Mine speak of 70 senators that died by their prescriptions, Cicero being one.
Cicero one? Cicero is dead, and by that order of prescription. Had you your letters from your wife, my lord?
Yeah, so by that just means along with those others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, Messala.
Nor nothing in your letters writ of her?
Nothing, Messala.
That, methinks, is strange.
Why ask you? Hear you aught of her in yours?
No, my lord.
Now, as you are a Roman, tell me.
Then, like a Roman, bear the truth I tell. For certain, she is dead, and by strange manner.
Well, farewell, Portia. We must die, Messala. With meditating that she must die once, I have the patience to endure it now.
Even so, great men great losses should endure. And Cassius, I have as much of this in art as you, but yet my nature could not bear it so.
Yeah, so this is a comparison of how Brutus is taking this news with how Messala would if it was his news, and Cassius would if it was his news.
What does this tell you about Brutus?
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, he said, this is a Stoic thing, and it's also an Epicurean thing. We keep hearing about Epicurus.
Mm-hmm.
Epicurus? Epicurus. I'm Epicurus. No, Epicurus. And Epicurus apparently preached that you should rise above the fear of death, and that there was no point, that you would live a better stress-free life if you weren't always worrying about dying.
I think that's true.
Yeah, that is true. So his theories have been subscribed to by lots of people since him. But he was saying also because there's no afterlife, so don't bother worrying about it. That's what he said.
Well, some people believe there is an afterlife, and some people believe in reincarnate. Like,
yeah,
that's fine.
Some
but
version.
Still, the idea that, you know,
that you have to spend your life on Earth worrying
about death. That's
yeah.
not a good way to enjoy
yeah.
yourself.
So
we're put on this Earth to enjoy ourselves.
So that's why Brutus was like, yeah, when I was thinking about it, I imagined that one day she would die. So I've already imagined it, so and I'm not worried about it because it happened. Yeah.
Okay.
It's weird. But this scene seems to me a skeleton of the Macduff scene when he's receiving the news
of,
about his family.
Of my little chickens.
Right? Because we have the same sort of one-liners, you know, never, no, the same as Ross bringing that news, right? Any news from my wife? Nope, nothing, you know? So
yeah.
It's very similar, yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
Here.
And so Cash is saying, I have as much of this in art in my study of philosophy. I also understand the study of philosophy, but still, it hurts my heart, you know?
Yeah.
Well, to our work alive. That means, like, what's present and in front of us. What do you think of marching to Philippi presently?
I do not think it good.
Your reason?
I missed my... Let's do it again.
Triple shared life.
Yeah, I missed it.
Of
marching to Philippi.
What do you think of marching to Philippi presently?
I do not think it good.
Your reason?
This it is. Plus two.
Yeah. So it's triple shared line with plus two extra beats.
Right? Listen. This.
Yeah.
'Tis better that the enemy seek us. So shall we waste his means, weary his soldiers, doing himself offense, whilst we, lying still, are full of rest, defense, and nimbleness.
This is the older and the better soldier speaking
right
here.
Let's not waste our resources. Let's let them come
let
to us and we'll be prepared.
Us. Yeah.
We'll be prepared and we'll be rested and fed and all of the things.
And he will be tired when he gets to the same battle place.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, this is true that Brutus was very impatient because he wanted to get back to Rome and start the new Rome. And so he's like, let's get this fucking battle over with and kill Octavius and Antony, and then we could get back to this.
Mm-hmm.
So he rushed it.
Mm-hmm.
And Cassius said, no, don't rush it.
What's the adage?
Yeah.
There's an adage about rushing things. What is it? Because my brain don't think of
it. Brain's not working.
Yeah, not working. But there is an adage about...
You'll put it in as an aside.
A stitch in time.
A stitch in time.
No, I don't know. Okay, I'm done.
Something like that.
Yeah.
My brain is really something. It's the simple haste makes waste I was trying to come up with.
So here's Brutus's reason now. Good reasons must, of force, give place to better.
You think your reasons are better than mine, bitch?
Yeah.
I mean,
Brutus
that's
his
reasons.
Yeah.
That's Cassius thinking
yeah.
in his
so
head.
So now the fight's sort of starting again, right?
Yeah.
The people twixt Philippi and this ground do stand but in a forced affection, for they have grudged us contribution. So these are, he's stretching out these lines, these words. Affection is four syllables. Contribution is five syllables. He's trying to make a point and trying to, you know, like
it's
stop
like what my mother does.
From,
she slows down her speaking to batter me over the head.
Exactly. Yeah. The enemy marching along by them shall make a fuller number up. Come on refreshed, new added, and encouraged. From which advantage shall we cut him off, if at Philippi we do face him there? These people at our back.
Hear me, good brother.
Great. And that's also a plus one on the word brother.
Yeah.
So he's like, stop, listen. And Brutus is not going to listen. Listen. But Brutus's argument is that there are a lot of people between Philippi and here that are not friends of ours. And so he says, if we let the enemy come through that territory, they're going to take those not friends of ours as soldiers. Mm-hmm. They're going to take their money, and they're going to come with extra money and extra people and reinforced and swell their numbers.
Yeah.
If we cut them off, then they won't be able to do that. So that's what he's saying. Hear me, good brother. Under your pardon. That means let me finish. You must note beside that we have tried the utmost of our friends. Our legions are brimful. Our cause is ripe. The enemy increaseth every day. We, at the height, are ready to decline. So, under your pardon, shut up. Let me finish. We have tried. We have pressed our friends, all of the people that we know, for money. And
even the people we don't know that we've just gone around and said, give.
Give. And our legions are, we have as many soldiers as we can expect to have. Mm-hmm. And yet the enemy is getting more soldiers every day. So, and we can only lose soldiers because we can't
find
any
more. We're as full as we can be.
Yeah. And then really famous line here. There is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures.
Then with your will go on. We'll along ourselves and meet them at Philippi.
Like with your will, with your BDE.
Big dick energy.
Big dick energy. So there's a tide in the affair. So there's a, this time comes in the life of a person where taken at the flood means like they have every opportunity and all the good stuff, and they have to take that and go forward. If they don't take advantage of that opportunity, the flood swells back and they lose the advantage.
Yeah.
And then they're bound in shallows, so that's water imagery again. They're stuck in the mire and the muck. So when a river floods out, there's this beautiful extra water that's like irrigating the land, and then when it sucks back, there's all this schmug.
That's a word.
And that's, and you can't walk in it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You'll lose your boots.
Yeah. So lose our ventures.
Oh, sorry.
The deep of night is crept upon our talk, and nature must obey necessity, which we will niggard with a little rest. There is no more to say.
No more.
Good. Okay, there's an awkward word in the middle there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So niggard means to, like, shuffle something off with just a little bit of attention. But it's so you could, if you're reading script, find a substitute word for that, perhaps, because it's awkward.
Yeah.
There is no more to say?
No more. Good night. Early tomorrow will we rise and hence.
Lucius, my gown. Farewell, good Messala. Good night to Tinius. Noble, noble Cassius. Good night and good repose.
Oh, my dear brother. Plus one again.
Yeah.
This was an ill beginning of the night. Never come such division tween our souls. Let it not, Brutus.
Everything is well.
Good night, my lord.
Good night, good brother.
To Tinius Messala, good night.
Good night, Lord Brutus. Farewell, everyone. Give me the gown. Where is thy instrument?
Lucius.
Here, in the tent.
What? Thou speak'st drowsily. Poor knave, I blame thee not. Thou art o'erwatched. That means you're awake too late. Call Claudius and some other of my men. I'll have them sleep on cushions in my tent.
Vero! I'm Claudius!
Vero. Calls, my lord. Again, ancillary character. Brutus. I pray you, sirs, lie in my tent and sleep. It may be I shall raise you by and by on business to my brother Cassius. Raise you.
you're reading Vero.
Okay.
In a New York accent.
So please you, we will stand and watch your pleasure.
Ooh!
Whoa! Watch your pleasure?
And
watch
these...
while you jack up.
Yeah. All these men in the tent.
I know.
There's raising, there's
armies,
pleasure.
You know. Yeah. There's no girls except some really scary horse, maybe, who follow the camp. Oh, my God, I learned something really interesting, too, is that the Roman armies, the way that they set up their camp, they always set it up with certain streets between the tents going north to south and certain streets going east to west so that you could always find your friend because they always live on the corner of blah, blah, and blah, blah.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that crazy?
Probably the prostitutes also lived on the corner
right.
of blah, blah,
so
and blah, blah.
Right, so the tents had certain, you know, the tents always were assigned to the same people, unless they died, of course.
Yeah. And someone inherited them.
But so the Roman army on the march was like a city,
yeah.
You know, really. They set it up as a small town. Boom, boom, quartered off.
Mm.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. Such organization. I mean, they were known for incredible organization, right? Yeah.
Sewers, aqueducts,
yeah.
Ducts.
All that stuff.
See, there's yeah. another
the only, word. The only fault I felt was like they put the bread ovens next to the privies. Who wants to smell their bread full of doo-doo smell?
Well, maybe it made the privies smell better because you know how good bread smells when it's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you have to smell the privies while you're baking your bread. Yeah, well. Okay, so anyway, Vero's watching.
Yes, right.
I will not have it so. No, you're not going to watch. Lie down, good sirs. It may be I shall otherwise bethink me. Look, Lucius, here's the book I sought for so. I put it in the pocket of my gown.
Oh, sure. Your lordship did not give it me.
Bear with me, good boy. I am much forgetful. Canst thou hold up thy heavy eyes a while and touch thy instrument a strain or two?
My lord, and please you.
Touch your instrument. Let me watch you do. Whoa. It does, my boy. I trouble thee too much, but thou art willing.
It is.
Oh, my God. It's really getting ugly here.
Yeah. It is my duty, sir.
I should not urge thy duty past thy might. I know young bloods look for a time of rest.
I have slept, my lord, already.
It was well done, and thou shalt sleep again. I will not hold thee long. Yeah, this is all about him, like, holding the poor kid's dick. If I do live, I will be good to thee. This is a sleepy tune. Oh, murderous slumber, layst thou thy leaden mace upon my boy? Oh, my goodness. A mace is a rod of office. Oh, so, like, now slumber personified is giving it to Lucius.
This poor kid.
Oh, this poor boy. Oh, murderous slumber, layst thou thy leaden mace upon my boy that plays thee music, gentle knave, good night. I will not do thee so much wrong to wake thee. If thou dost nod, thou break'st thy instrument. I'll take it from thee. And good boy, good night. Let me see. Is not the leaf turned down where I left reading? Here it is, I think. How ill this taper burns. Ha, who comes here? I think it is the weakness of my eyes that shapes this monstrous apparition. Again. Yeah? So maybe the first time he said apparition was almost like a... Or he said other something, da-da-da, Shion, was like a heads up that this was coming.
Maybe.
It comes upon me. Art thou anything? Art thou some god, some angel, or some devil that makes my blood cold and my hair to stare? Speak to me what thou art.
Thy evil spirit, Brutus.
Why comest thou?
To tell thee thou shalt see me at Philippi.
Well, then I shall see thee again?
Aye, at Philippi.
Why, I will see thee at Philippi then. And he goes, now I have taken heart, thou vanishest. Ill spirit, I would hold more talk with thee. Boy, Lucius, Varro, Claudius, sirs, away, Claudius.
The strings, my lord, are false.
He thinks he still is at his instrument. Lucius, awake.
My lord?
Didst thou dream, Lucius, that thou criedst out so?
My lord, I do not know that I did cry.
Yes, that thou didst. Didst thou see anything?
Nothing, my lord.
Sleep again, Lucius. Sirrah, Claudius. Fellow, thou, awake.
My lord.
Oh, Claudius.
My lord.
Why did you cry out so, sirs, in your sleep?
Did we, my lord?
I saw you anything?
No, my lord, I saw nothing.
Nor I, my lord.
Go and commend me to my brother Cassius. Bid him set on his powers betimes before, and we will follow.
It shall be done, my lord.
So he's like, screw it, let's just get going.
Yeah.
He's even more impatient now that he's seen Great Caesar's ghost.
Great Caesar's ghost.
Goodness.
Ghost.
Ghost is ghost?
Ghost. Okay, so.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. That was a lot of homoeroticism there.
Yeesh.
Wowie, wow.
And the ghost ends on Philippi twice.
Yeah, yeah. Ba-boom, ba-boom, and then Brutus repeats it, right? So we've got the three. Yeah.
The Holy Trinity of Philippi.
And actually, I'm pronouncing it because that's the way the Romans pronounced it. But in Shakespeare's scansion, if you do it, it's Philippi.
Philippi.
Mm-hmm. And I shall see thee at Philippi.
Because that's a plus one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
I shall see thee. Wait, hold on. I'll find it. Hold on.
Well, I will see thee at Philippi then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To tell thee, thou shalt see me at Philippi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
It's weird. That's strange pronunciation there. So I would.
So many shared lines in this scene. And we talked a lot in Macbeth about how shared lines show relationship.
Yeah.
And in the case of Lady M and M, love.
Love and a deep connection,
mm-hmm.
right? We definitely have that between Brutus and Cassius, but we really got into it here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. We really got into
Sheathe
it here.
Your dagger.
All right. So, I'm Erin.
And I'm Diana.
And this was Fuck Brutus and Cassius.
Brutus and Cassius fucking Shakespeare the poet. What?
Bye.
Bye.
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.